Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Just enjoying the nectar of the morning, that's all.
Well, that's good. 45 degrees this morning when I woke up, so I was not enjoying that. It's May.
I'm having coffee. I'm drinking coffee.
I got you. I'm on my third cup, which I'm not really a big coffee guy, but on my third cup so far today.
Well, you're a dad now, so get used to it.
That's true. That is true. Corey, could be, potentially, a big day for the Nashville Predators today. The NHL draft lottery is tonight. They have, at the moment, an 11.5% chance of landing the number one overall pick. I want to ask you a philosophical question here.
If the best pick is a defensive player, do you take him?
That's exactly what I'm asking you. The best pick looks like it's going to be a defensive player. The Matthew Schaefer is pretty clearly, and I think almost consensus, the number one player in the draft when you ask all the gurus, and he is a high-level defenseman. The Predators, as you know, have never had that number one center. And there's a guy or two in this draft that I think could potentially become that one day. So I ask you, let's say the Predators land the number one overall pick. What would your reaction be if they went with the defenseman over the centerman, even though the defenseman may clearly be the best player available?
If he's clearly the best player, then they have to take him. You know, you just have to, you know, I hate to say grit your teeth and bear it, but you just have to take him. Roman Josi's not getting any younger. And it's not like the Preds' defense was tremendous last year, okay? Look, unless you're telling me, hey, the number two pick, yeah, he's going to be the next Stamkos as well. You know, because we've had those drafts where it's been 3-4 deep with just major, major stars. Then I could see doing it. But I'm sorry I'm not a hockey prospect expert. I'm going to tell you I'm not.
It's okay.
If this guy is clearly, you know, the stuff, then you got to take him, you know, and trust that you're going to find somebody somewhere else, even though you really haven't in 25 years.
So do you think that the Blackhawks, like, are they going to do, like, the frozen ping pong ball thing? Or, like, how do you think they're going to rig it for the Blackhawks tonight, Corey?
Not much is working for the Blackhawks.
That's a shame.
People are broken up around here about it.
I mean, it's okay. You know, the Red Wings are not exactly, you know, bouncing back. You know, it's been a rough go for some of the NHL's best. You know, with the Blackhawks, as a Chicagoan, it comes down to ownership. You know, do you want to win? How serious are you? And when they've been serious about winning, they've seriously won. And when you're serious about losing, you seriously lose. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, they've got a lot of pieces to add. I'm not going to go into the conspiracy theory that it's rigged. Sorry. I hear too much of that in this world today. I'm not going to go there for the ping pong balls.
I generally agree with you philosophically. Just not the only conspiracy is for the Blackhawks, though. That's the one. That's the one that I allow. Yeah,
thank you. That's good. That's good. Yeah. So, Corey, I'm asking you the same question I asked Rex Road earlier in the show on the Titans front. What do you feel better about right now, the Titans on the offensive side of the ball or the Titans on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I mean, you feel good that you think they've got a quarterback. I mean, it's a roll of the dice. I mean, really, what's the hit rate on these guys at that position? Like with the first like five picks of the draft, isn't it like 25%?
Roughly, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hard to be like, yes, they've got their guy. This will, things will be different when you know that, regardless of how good guys have been. But you know, to me, you've drafted the guy who's supposed to be your cornerstone piece on offense. And I don't know if they have that guy on their defense, you know, right now. I mean, I know Jeffrey Simmons has kind of been that guy for a while, but he's in year seven. They don't have, you know, if they had a 15-sack guy that you knew I might feel better about their defense. But with what looks like a competent offensive line and the quarterback of your future, I think I might lean more towards the offense.
That's 3 for 3, actually. Yeah. We both
said the same. It's a scary place to be.
Yeah. It is a scary place to be. Well, I mean, you know, you mentioned the offensive line, Corey. First of all, of course, it's going to be very difficult to – you can't be – I really don't think you can be worse. I think it's going to be difficult.
We've said that before.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, yes. But I do believe that, and I do believe that it'll be very hard to not be better.
This is a realistic plan, though, Joe. Before, there's been a lot of hope in the plan. Well, I hope this guy develops. Well, I hope this guy is good. Hope these guys on the right side can come together. They've got an established guy at every position. You know, Zeitler is a pro. All right. Zeitler is a pro. It's like bringing in the big guy from the Rams that played left guard.
Roger Saffold.
Yes.
Saffold. Yeah. It's like bringing Saffold. You know he can play. You know Zeitler can play. And you feel you're not hoping like J.C. Latham can play the right tackle. You feel really good that he's going to be a good right tackle. And you know you've got a pro at center when he comes back, and you feel good about the trajectory Peter Skoronski's on. And, you know, you better feel good about the guy you got at left tackle because you just gave him a whole bunch of money. So you feel good about the pieces you've got in place there.
But you just hit the hope, though. That's the hope element of it, right? I mean, to me, at least. Dan,
you know, the left tackle?
Yeah.
Yeah, the left tackle, you know, yes, but, you know, there's some proof of product there, and you know the proof hasn't always been the best, but it's certainly been better than what they've had.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I just look at defense right now, Corey. I know they just drafted Oladejo, but I'm looking at who's getting after the quarterback, and that to me scares the crap out of me for the defense right now, because I just don't know how good they're going to be getting after the quarterback. And if you can't do that in this league, in today's NFL, you're just up a creek on defense.
Yeah, I know there's the hope, there's that word hope, that they can kind of piece it together like the Commanders did last year, and you get a bunch from a bunch of different people. But you know, Oladejo is a project. I mean, he hasn't played that position, you know, very long. And the guys you bought in, what, like Lo Carter and Draymond Jones, you know, those guys, you know, you're hoping to get like 5 or 6 from those guys. That would be good. You get 5 or 6 from Arden Key, and you know, hope that Jeff gets 5 or 6. You know, hope that Tavondre, you know, moves up his number. So there's a lot of hope in that these guys all produce at, you know, I hate to say what you think their maximum level is, because you think most of these guys, their maximum level is about 6-7 sacks, right?
Yeah. It's not a great scenario.
No, there's a lot of hope. So you better hope that the offense scores a ton of points, which they haven't been able to do in years.
You know, maybe the most debated topic, I think, last week on this station was Xavier Restrepo, or like just in general Titans.
Yeah.
It's like some people are like, look at what a great signing. And then we have the, oh, my God, what are you doing? Where do you come down on him, Corey, just on that addition?
I mean, he's worth a look, right? I mean, highly productive college player who knows his quarterback. You know, it doesn't cost you anything to bring him in.
There's zero risk to it.
Yeah, I don't understand, you know, you get 90 spots, right? I think you can afford with some of the guys we've seen here who take up one of those 90. I think you can certainly justify taking up one of those 90. I mean, you got to, like, not everybody's going to make it. And, you know, you can always tuck guys away on the practice squad. Mason Kinsey's been tucked away there for years, and he keeps coming back, and he keeps winding up on the roster. You know, so, you know, maybe, you know, Xavier Restrepo is the next one. You know, the speed is obviously a question, but the production speaks for itself. And, you know, let him show if he can do it at this level. And if he can't, thanks for playing. And if he can, wow, that was cheap.
Corey, last thing for you here. How would you rate Tyler Lockett's handshaking ability, and what did you make of his press conference? Like, I walked away from his press conference watching it last week, Corey, and said, yeah, I like that guy. Titans have a pretty good leader in that wide receiver room.
I didn't even have time to get out of my chair. I mean, I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned. I mean, and I like most of these guys, so don't get it wrong, but it's different than it used to be. You know, we used to have a lot better relationships with a lot of these guys. They were more open to it. They weren't as guarded as they quite often are now. And look, I get it. There's a lot more people coming after them from a lot more different areas. It's not just idiots on the radio in the morning.
Jeez.
Did you hear that shot I just came with?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was a throwback to 20 years ago. You know, when, you know, you felt like, I mean, he even said we were a part of the family. I think
which was
like, whoa, what? So yeah, I was thrown back, and you know, I think you need good people, you know, especially veterans, to show people how to be good people quite a lot of times. Now, you still have to be able to play. That is the other big part of this. And you know, we'll see how much Tyler Lockett has left in the tank. But, you know, the thing I love about Tyler Lockett is, I mean, he has missed like 1-2 games in his entire career. And he has done it, you know, being a really small player and still being really productive. And so I think he's got a lot to teach because, you know, we talk about him being the king of business decisions. You know, there's a time and a place for everything. How many times have we seen guys get hurt or more and more often turn the football over trying to do too much?
Yep.
And that's what he talked about. Is I don't want to turn the football over after I've already gotten the first down. And you know what that is? That's smart, okay? And so they can use a guy to teach guys situational football and how to be smart. You know, and he's not, you know, this isn't like bringing in Julio Jones. You didn't trade a second and a fourth, and you're not paying him, you know, double figure, you know, millions to come in here and play. It's like a $5 million deal, right? I mean, so that to me is a very responsible signing with a clear plan. I mean, I think when Callie was asked about it, he said, you know, with Cam Moore's development, he said, it's a part of it, you know. And so, you know, yes, it's a small part of it. And they could afford a small part of it, not only financially, but in that room. And so, you know, it's just another element to show you why they like him, and he was worth bringing in. And again, if it doesn't work out with him, they're not that invested.
Corey, great stuff as always. I hope the coffee's tasting good this morning, and we will talk to you next week.
Is the sun going to come back out this, you know, month?
God, I hope so. Mm-hmm.
Hey, by the way, keep Isaiah Thomas's name out of your mouth too.
Every time when I'm riling you up, I'm like, you guys are all missing the point here. Isaiah Thomas was so overrated.
Yes, yes. Get in there.
Diminutive point guard who just got under people's skin. Yay, good for him.
Yes, that face is getting redder as we speak.
Way to get me going.
Yep. Thank you, Corey.
Now, that Joe Dumars was classy. He could have played
for
the Bulls.
Yes, there we go. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Joins us every Monday morning.
We'd love to have Dennis Rodman on our team. Of course we would.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Again, you can check out Corey Curtis on our program every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. .615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura at Hermitage Golf Course, is back coming up on Thursday, May 29th. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Appreciate Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. By the way, I got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides at First Horizon Park this Thursday. First pitch at 6:35. Be caller number 2, 615-737-1025. Caller 2 will win a 4-pack of tickets to the Sounds and the Tides at First Horizon Park this Thursday. Corey Curtis got you triggered there in the last part of that second.
A little bit. It's funny we're talking about Isaiah Thomas. I'm looking at Kendrick Perkins predicting that Giannis is going to the Pistons next year. I had not thought about that one.
You know where he needs to go? He needs to go to San Antonio. That's where he needs to go. You imagine a Wemby and Giannis combo down there? Even though Popovich is not the coach anymore?
That would be, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like any – you put him – you put him on any team and it's going to be like, man, him and whoever. I mean, yeah. It's like, you know, he's – but it's also interesting just his style of play. I don't think it fits everywhere.
No.
Interesting. But, yes, Corey with his BS about – and he knows. He knows it's wrong. He knows it's wrong that Isaiah was left off the dream team and that his guy, Jordan, made it happen because he had to be a little baby.
It's not what the documentary said. Way.
Yeah, the hagiography. Yeah. I know. The fantasy.
I need to watch that again. It's on Netflix. You need to go check out the Last Dance again. I haven't watched it since it originally came out.
Yeah. I watched it during COVID when all you could do is watch everything, and it was like, well, okay, I guess we'll watch this. Like, yep, this is just as much big loads of BS as I expected it would be.
Remember we did like entire shows or half shows on The Last Dance because there's nothing else going on?
Yeah.
It was fun.
That was. That was a good
real
time.
Real good time.
I missed that.
Real good time in the world of sports out there.
Great time of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey Curtis, again, feeling better about the offense. That means you, me, and Corey Curtis feel better about the offensive side of the ball right now than the defensive side of the ball for the Tennessee Titans, which frankly makes me incredibly nervous.
Yeah, I mean, basically just a bad commentary on the defense is pretty much what that is. I mean, it's no one's excited about either side of the ball.
Other than Cam Ward.
Yeah, but at least –
just the natural intrigue there.
Yeah, at least there's – hey, the number one player in the whole draft is on one side, so I'm going with that side.
Yeah, I mean, I at the moment, how their edge rush group is lined up, short of Oladejo just coming out and being an absolute monster, which I don't know how realistic that is at the NFL level, particularly with his background and just having switched and played this position. I think he's definitely more of a project. It's going to take some time. And maybe eventually he turns into that player. But frankly, right now, based on where their roster is, it could be a struggle at getting after the quarterback this year.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier the whole idea of L'Jarius Sneed actually being available, actually being good, actually being healthy, being somewhat close to what he was 2 years ago. This all sounds – I mean, it sounds, frankly, a little bit – hopeful, you know, a little bit sunshine. I think that could happen. But if that's the case, and you're solid in the back end, you know, maybe some of the pressure stuff that this defense is supposed to be all about, maybe you can do more of that stuff, you know, and make up for the fact that you just don't have you're not gonna have great four man rush. I don't think so either.
But maybe they can find a way to manufacture some of that this year. They did not do a great job of that last year. So I just think there are some holes on the defense right now that are going to be pretty difficult to fill. Not that I feel great about the offensive side of the ball either, but they've at least addressed the offensive line. We'll see how effectively. They have addressed wide receiver to a degree. We'll see how effectively they've done that. And obviously they've clearly addressed quarterback, and we'll see how quickly Cam Ward can step in there and elevate the quarterback play.
They've done way more on offense.
Yeah.
So a decent hit rate of all the things they've done. Yeah, I like that side better.
Some news coming down. Michigan coach Sharon Moore is expected to be suspended for 2 games of the upcoming 2025 college football season as a part of self-imposed sanctions by the university in going back to the Connor Stallions advanced scouting scandal. This is coming from Dan Wetzel, Pete Thamel, but looks like Sharon Moore will be suspended a couple games. Head coach of Michigan.
But that's Michigan's attempt.
Correct.
I'll tell you what, man. You know, their president just announced that he's leaving. He's going to Florida. All due respect to Florida. You know, Michigan, I mean, that's not a step up in terms of university prestige. And he's only been there like a couple years, I think. Maybe 3 years, 2-3 years.
Getting out before the hammer drops?
I mean, it's interesting. You've got some show causes have been handed out too. Jesse Minter, former Vanderbilt assistant. You know, again, those guys, like he's in the NFL, it's fine, but he's got a show cause. He couldn't coach in college. I mean, the trail of you know, the trail of whatever you want to call it that leads back to Harbaugh is quite a it's quite something. So
meanwhile, he's just happy as a clam out there in L.A. coaching the Chargers.
Man. Yeah, talking about how, you know, cheaters should never prosper and things like that. No, I mean, it's interesting. That's self-imposed. That is, that's a pretty big self-imposed punishment.
Yep.
And makes you wonder what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's some news on that front. Sharon Moore expected to be suspended 2 games this year, a self-imposed sanction by the University of Michigan. We'll take it any way you want to take it. We'll get more of your thoughts on the Titans question today. Which side of the ball do you feel better about, the offense or the defense? It is NHL Draft Lottery Day. Barry Trotz is speaking later today, addressing the media for the first time since the season came to a close as well. Any way you want to take it, our phone lines are wide open, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game.
I like the khakis. If I wear them every day, then, you know, you don't have to spend time thinking about what to wear.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz, is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Skyler on the text line, going back to what Corey Curtis brought up about the Titans pass rush and saying, well, maybe you could get 5 or 6 sacks at Arden Key and 5 or 6 sacks maybe out of Jeffrey Simmons. Skyler says, Arden Key freaking sucks. That's the only thing that's in the text.
Wow.
It is kind of amazing he's still here.
Tell us what you really feel.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing he's here. He's going to play a ton.
He's going to be maybe their best option right now.
I mean, they've basically everything they've done, you know, people, you say whatever you want. Watch the games, think whatever you want. Everything the Titans have done, say they believe Arden Key is tremendous. If he could just bottle up that one game in New Orleans.
If he could bottle up the one game in New Orleans or the training camp performance against Andre Dillard.
Yes.
Either one of those things, Titans be in good shape at edge rusher.
If you hear
remember
about
all that talk in training camp? Like, good Lord, you guys should see Arden Key out here. He is annihilating the practices.
He had lost some weight, so I was like, okay, it's a kind of a, you know, reborn player.
It's like, who's he going up against? Andre Dillard?
Huh. He's going to be fine, so Key must be really good.
Yeah. Didn't work out that way. Although he did look, he played great in that first game against New Orleans. What do you have, like 2 sacks in that game? Forced fumble?
Did he not have 3? Maybe
he may have.
I don't know. But yes, he was a force. But he's still around, and he's going to play a lot, and he's okay. I mean, it's not that bad, Skyler. Dennis says,
I love Paul Kuharsk from paulkuharsk.com. My name is Arden Key.
He is a great reporter. That reminds me of Corey talking about family members. If Tyler Lockett thinks media is family, what is Kuharsky?
That's a good question.
The uncle that you just hope leaves?
Guess so.
Please leave Thanksgiving.
By the way,
you've had dessert.
Arden Key is a debut with the Titans against the Saints. Only 1.5 sacks.
Okay.
He did have 2 quarterback hits, and I'm not seeing the forced fumble stat on Pro Football Reference. I'm just not seeing it.
I thought
it's not there.
Sure
I'm sure he probably did.
Yeah. We'll give it to him, okay?
Yeah, we'll give it to him.
Dennis says
he was all over the place in that game.
On the Zietler front, is it like signing Roger Saffold or like signing Andy Levitre?
Zietler?
Yeah. First of all, let me get his name right, you know. Zietler. He is good.
Ziegler?
Sakai Zietler?
The Titans have signed Sakai Ziegler to play right guard.
He'd probably figure a way to do it. He'd probably actually hold up, you know. No, he's a good signing. I didn't like the overall tone with Brian Callahan, the eternal optimist that he is. He was adamant about Zietler. It's like, yeah, Dan Moore, too. Yeah, he's there, too.
We also signed him. That's a move we made.
Left tackle. I'm sure it'll be fine. But the Zietler commentary, he brought him up whenever he had a chance to bring him up last week.
He's fired up about
Zietler's good.
Zietler is good. I got one texter that says, I feel worse about the offense, given that's what Callahan is more directly involved with. It's from an unnamed texter on the text line, who not a very big Brian Callahan fan.
Yeah, we need to come up with something. You know, obviously we have excellent ideas in, you know, Cam Dews and What Are You Doing.
Yeah, really good stuff.
Yeah, that's just – I don't say it enough. I'm going to try to remind myself to say it more often. But the Callahaters are just hardcore. I mean, I know that's kind of obvious. I'll come up with something better. But, like, there's a really – ooh, okay. Callicants, that's not bad. They just really, really think he's – I mean, again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's anything on the football field last year that gives me a tremendous amount of confidence. I am going to tell you that they had the worst roster in the NFL. Like, does that not matter?
Sure.
Not saying he did a good job, but I'm just saying, like, one season with the worst roster in the NFL, there are other coaches who would have done just as poorly. Other coaches also probably would have done more with that roster. I totally agree. He's also a rookie head coach. We'll see.
No, I'm with you. I think one of the fundamental questions of this season heading into it, beyond the obvious of all the Cam Ward stuff, obviously he's going to be a big part of it. But how much, if indeed they have improved their offensive line to the point where it is passable, how much of a difference does that alone make, right? Like, how much does having a halfway decent offensive line make in terms of protecting the quarterback, being able to call the entire playbook, as TD pointed out on Friday? Like, you're limited in what you can call when your offensive line is absolute bunts the way that it's been the last couple of years around here. So, again, I'm not asking for the offensive line to be great, but if it could be middle of the pack, how much better is your offense just purely based off that, regardless of anything else that you want to talk about, whether it's quarterback play, whether or not Brian Callahan's a good play caller? Like, I think you begin to find out the answer to more of those things if you can get your offensive line to a point where it's not just caving in every time you drop back to pass.
Right. And then, you know, if it's middle of the pack and you actually have receivers who are out there causing problems for people, and, you know, obviously quarterback play is the most important thing, but just the receivers. Like, do you have help for Calvin Ridley that's actually competent? All that stuff. And then the coaching. I mean, that makes the offensive line better too. You know, they all feed each other. But to your point, yeah, you still have to get to a certain level of just competence with that offensive line. And I'm looking at left tackle. I'm looking at left tackle. And if it's just fine, okay, decent, you're upgraded.
Yeah. Well, then frankly, like, with the revamped offensive line, we're going to spend so much time talking about the quarterback part of it, but, like, how well can they run the ball? Because, look, we talk about the 2016 Mariota season all the time, right, and how good he was, and he was. But, you know, it was a big part of that year. They got DeMarco Murray, and the offensive line was a really good run-blocking offensive line, and that took a whole lot of pressure off the quarterback. It would be nice to have that for Cam Ward this year, the ability to run the football and him not have to drop back 45 times a game and throw it. That would be nice.
Right. And then not having to drop back 45 times also has something to do with, you know, is your defense.
The score, yes.
Is your defense going to be solid too? But, there's no doubt about it. There's a lot of things that they've addressed, and it's just how well have they addressed it? How quickly are some of these fixes going to actually, you know, help this year? That's another thing. Someone here just hates Treylon Burks so much. It's like counting the days that he's been on the team. I got day 12, 16 on Friday. Now today, day 12, 18. Now, wait a minute. If Friday was day 12, 16, wouldn't that 12, make 19. Sunday 12, 18? You got to get. Do you have your days right or not? One of those days is wrong. 1,200 and something days with Treylon Burks on the team.
Has it been that many days? That's a lot of days.
I mean, I guess that, yeah, I guess that's 3 years. Right. Yeah. 3 years. Yeah. So we're good at math.
Yeah. That's what we got into.
Wait a minute. But that's 3 years is 900 plus 365. That's 180. That's about 1,100.
I mean,
days.
The AI says 1,074.
Yeah, we're off significantly.
What? So you're just like making stuff up. I mean, I like the idea of being this petty, but like you're 200 days off. Is this like going back to
lasting ahead?
He was drafted in 2022, and it is 2025.
It's
so
been exactly 3 years.
Almost, yeah.
Like, are you going back to Texter? Are you going back to like when he worked out the combine or something?
Yeah.
Like, was that when you started being angry at Treylon Burks?
Do you get extra days for hog hunting? Like, do you add that to it?
All those hog hunting days are tacked down there.
You ready for this? Dylan on the text line says Callahan's first season was cataclysmic. It's from Dylan and Antioch.
Okay, I kind of like that one.
Cataclysmic.
Cataclysmic is pretty good, Dylan. Shout out to you. We can't use it like to call the people who hate him.
No,
but
it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to keep that one.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Barry Trotz addressing the media today. It's NHL draft lottery day. Predators with a chance to land the number one overall pick tonight in the NHL draft. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Barry Trotz speaking later today at 12:15. By the way, we will be carrying that press conference live here on 1025 The Game. DVD will have that covered for you. So Barry Trotz addressing the media at roughly 12:15 today, the first time he will address the media since the season came to an end. John, I'm interested to see what he has to say. Obviously, this has been a longer process than anticipated in terms of him addressing the media. I believe it was originally supposed to happen, I think, the Wednesday after the season ended, which would have been roughly a week when the regular season ended. And it's gone on, obviously, much longer than that to this point. It's May the 5th. So it's been a while to this point. Will he come out today and say definitively that Andrew Brunette is back as head coach? That's my expectation, that probably happens today. We'll see if it goes down that way at the press conference or not. It'll be an interesting show tomorrow if it doesn't go that way. But what are you most interested to hear about beyond the Brunette stuff today as it relates to Barry Trotz?
Yeah, well, first of all, that clearly and, you know, and then talk about it and why. I think we've all eliminated the possibility that he's going to say Brunette's out. Alex Doherty left open the possibility that he might just continue to say he's still evaluating.
That would be interesting.
Which would be just wild to me. I mean, I think he's going to say Brunette's back, and so then I want to hear why. And as much transparency about the decision-making process of talking to everybody, going through the exit interviews, also just considering this team, the state of this team, how bad it was last year, and why. Since you can't change the composition of the roster too much, why this is your choice?
I would love to know how open he's going to be on his conversations with the players at the end of the year. Like, I don't have the expectation that he's just going to air every part of the exit meetings that he's had with Marchessault and Stamkos and the veterans today. But, like, it's no secret. Like, Marchessault made some comments publicly that made the rounds and were a pretty high level of interest around the league, right? Like, we talked about him here. They made their way around the league in terms of his comments on what he had to say about the system and the changes and Bruce Cassidy, the Vegas Golden Knights, moving forward here. So, you know, what was Trotz's thoughts on that, and how much did he take into account, like, what went on at the exit meetings into what clearly has been a challenging decision? Like, we played a clip from Elliot Friedman last week on DVD, and I agree with him. Like, if you think that there are all these names out there available at coach and the Predators never had conversations about whether or not they should go after those guys, I think you're crazy. Like, there was clearly an evaluation process here. And if he has come out and he does say today that Andrew Brunette's coming back as head coach, it clearly was not cut and dry. Like, Brunette, as of the last time we talked to him, did not know if he was coming back as head coach or not.
For sure. So I'm with you. I'd love to hear as much as he might reveal. You know, we focus so much on those two guys, and Marchessault in particular. Did anyone go hard to bat for him?
Right.
Did, you know, I mean, like, but the thing is, even if that's the case, it's like, so I'm not expecting everybody on the roster to just agree on everything, but like, is that a source of conflict among guys on this team? I mean, that's where it's like.
I thought Kyle Dubas of Pittsburgh had some pretty interesting comments last week. You know, obviously they fired Mike Sullivan, and he had his press conference after that, and they were just asking him about basically like Crosby, right? Like, Crosby's thoughts on it. And Dubas said, you know, basically, like, in my experience, if you start asking the players about all that stuff, he said, what you'll typically find is seven or eight guys love the coach and just love everything about the coach. Seven or eight guys hate the coach and don't want to play for the coach. And the other guys, for the most part, are just kind of indifferent. Like, it's kind of.
Probably depends on which guys. Then.
It probably does depend on which guys. Like, you know, I would say if you're Edmonton and, like, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl don't like your coach, it's probably an issue.
They count at that point as more than two.
Right.
We have texters, you know, texter today who just has to attack Cole Smith. You know, if Cole Smith loves Brunette, I don't know how much weight that carries.
I'm drawing the line at Cole Smith. Whatever he says, we're going with.
Smith dictates policy.
But I bring that up to say, like, how many players deep down, like, have super strong opinions on what they should do with the coach? And how many of them are just like, yeah, tell me who's coaching the team and we'll go out there and play? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah. I think you get – that's the thing, though. With this team, the veterans that you have, what they've achieved, what they're trying to do here late stage together, frankly, like, you want them to feel good about things. They do know a thing or two about effective coaching in the National Hockey League.
It is also NHL Draft Lottery Day, and the numbers at the moment – I mean, I say at the moment, it's what the numbers are. They have an 11.5% chance by the numbers of like getting the number market. One overall pick. Yeah, it's going up and down. Yeah. They have 11.5% chance to get the number one overall pick. We know, Joe, that they're going to be picking somewhere between 1 and 5. We had Adam Kimmelman on from NHL.com earlier. If you missed that, go check it out, Robbie and Retro, wherever you get your podcast. But I thought he was really good. I thought, you know, really good stuff in terms of, you know, the Schaefer conversation is interesting. Let's say the Predators land the number one overall pick. I think Schaefer, by most evaluations, is going to be the number one player on the board. The Predators have never been able to find a number one centerman in the draft, and this would be maybe an opportunity to do that if a guy like Michael Mesa is there. So you may be right. Like, maybe the best thing possible for the Predators, if you're wanting a centerman, is for them to finish like second or third and be like, San Jose, you guys go take Schaefer. We'll pick one of these centermen out here.
Yeah, and we should have asked him. But, like, I still don't understand how when you finished third from last, the third pick is such a low possibility for you.
It's too many
What's the percentage for them to pick third? It's like 4 or something like that?
7.8.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
I got in this business to not do math. I don't know what all that means.
Yeah. So.
But we know it's 1 through 5 somewhere.
Yeah, so
they're going to end up with a good player. The question is who – how good, what position, and are they ready to play quickly?
And if they are 5, then the guy we talked about.
McQueen?
Yeah, McQueen. That might be like a choice that they're looking at, like high upside, but back injury.
Well, and boy. I will say, like, if they're 5, does Hagans fall to 5? Some people think he might. Mm-hmm. And if he does, I would not hate that pick at 5 if you're the Nashville Predators. We'll see how it goes. That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.